Okay, I think we have him now. Tom Jones Tuesday on Kate Radio. Jonesy, are you there?
I'm here, I think.
Good afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing well. Nice, beautiful, warm day here in Albert Lea.
You know, it's better than yesterday. I mean, I haven't been outside for a while, but I assume it's more comfortable?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I saw in the news last night that there was going to be a, I'm going to use the word front very, very gingerly, but the wind did switch over to the north this morning. I was in my yard, and it turned out to be this really nice, cool breeze coming off the lake. So, yeah, it's definitely not as hot today.
Jonesy, are you a big selfie guy?
No, I am not at all.
Oh, okay. Well, it's National Selfie Day. Just wanted to...
I've never done one. Never done one.
Never.
Never.
Well, next time we broadcast, we're going to do a selfie. Just so you know.
Okay.
Just to give you a heads up. So you were probably busy with the baseball over the weekend because the VFW, do they have back-to-back days of baseball?
Back-to-back. We're going to play one Friday over in Rochester. It ended up being a doubleheader. And good games over there. So much baseball, I don't remember how we did. But Saturday we played a doubleheader here. And then Sunday I think it was a doubleheader too. And so, yeah, exciting. If you're a VFW baseball fan, they're getting a lot of games in. And tomorrow night we play Byron at 4 o'clock at Hike Field, followed by 6 o'clock with, or 6:30, whatever it would be, for the American Legion team. So, yeah, the VFW is a good start. I think they're 4-4, 4-3 maybe, and all the losses have been by one run. And then they play a second game, usually 3 to 5 innings, and the second game is more for the younger guys. And they've had some success, too. I don't know what their record is, but they were over 500.
I want to say when it comes to the games that counted, you mentioned those five-inning games that are after and they don't count against the standings.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say 4-3. I want to say because
they
were 3-1 and they went 1-2 these last three games. So I want to say sounds right.
That sounds right.
So, yeah, head to the ballpark tomorrow, doubleheader for baseball. Is there a charge to get into games?
No charge at all whatsoever. And, you know, they'll have a concession stand, hamburgers and hot dogs, I think, and pop and different things. My wife is actually working the concessions tomorrow night as our parental duty. And so you get a hamburger that's served by her, I guess. So, but I understand the hamburgers are very, very good, and they look good when they go by me. So,
did your wife tell you that when we did the New Prague game against Albert Lea, she was sitting two rows in front of us, and she helped us with so many things? When it comes to,
I heard you talk about that a little bit, that she was in front of you there, and yeah, she taught New Prague and coached in New Prague for quite a few years before I dragged her down here and got married.
So, well,
she's listening right now, I believe, so she's probably chuckling. But
no, we always appreciate Nancy's help, and it was nice you couldn't make it on that Saturday, so at least we had a one Jones or two Jones because Spencer was in the dugout. We had two Jones in the park, so it was good.
Yep.
Now, Tom, as a diehard Twins fan, I want to gauge your excitement. Are you kind of excited, very excited, or not excited at all about this three-game series against Cleveland?
Well, I looked at it yesterday and saw Cleveland coming in. I keep forgetting the Guardians now, or something like that. And I thought, you know, they're coming up on us. This is a chance for us to stretch it out a little bit. And we've had a day off here coming back from Arizona, so hopefully they've had a chance to get some sleep and regroup and get ready to go. And we're starting to become healthy again with Sonny Gray, I believe, back. And he pitched a good game. Joe Ryan came back maybe a little bit early, but I think he'll be good to go when his next start comes up. And I like the fact they got Alex Kirilloff back from St. Paul. He was just tearing up AAA. And getting his bat in the lineup, I think, is going to be huge, too, on a consistent basis. And I think the thing that everybody's still a little concerned about is you got Smith usually going in the eighth and Duran, but Pagano's a closer. It seems like he's always giving up one or two hits to get guys on bases, and it's not ever a 1-2-3. But yeah, this is going to be a good series. I hope they get good crowds and can get some wins off of Cleveland.
Because, Jonesy, I ask this question because, and I hang around a lot of Twins fans. You know, I'm kind of an outsider cheering for those guys on the south side of Chicago. But nobody seems overly excited. And I felt this the whole year so far when it comes to Twins fans. And there might be Twins fans out there going, no, I've been excited all year and I've been talking about them. What are you talking about? But I just feel like the overall vibe has not been as exciting as it should be for a first-place team. And I think there should be a lot more talk about, again, three against the Guardians this week, five in Cleveland coming up next week. I mean, I think when it comes to a sports talk in Minnesota and among sports fans, it should be, you know, the A topic. Everybody should be excited about, again, eight times the next 11 games could make a big dent in who could possibly win the Central. I know we're only in June, but these are a big eight-game series or eight games total coming up.
Yeah, I didn't realize they had eight games coming up out of 11. You're right on. I think one thing is, from my perspective anyway, we've had 26 pitchers, 27 pitchers so far, and there just hasn't been a guy where you're jumping on the bandwagon, the Joel Mauers, the Justin Morneaus, the big guys that are there, other than maybe Luis Arraez, that you're jumping on and saying, man, this guy's so great, I can't wait to watch him hit every at-bat. You have so many players that have come and gone, and position-wise have been hurt or moved back down to St. Paul, and it just hasn't been a real group of four or five guys in my mind that you're jumping on their bandwagon because of that. And I think everybody, too, after last year's not very successful season, that they're saying, you know, when's it going to fall apart? When's it going to fall apart? And so far it hasn't. What are we, 38 and 30 or something like that? And so this is 11 days. This is going to tell a story. I believe it will. See how we do and see how good Cleveland is, and we'll see how good we are.
And I know everyone's busy during the summertime. I wonder if the lockout has hurt maybe excitement, at least for the Twins, because I have multiple friends that, you know, go to a handful of games at least by this time of the season, and many of them have not stepped in the Target Field at all this year for different reasons. It could be, again, just too busy with kids' sports. It could be financially the price of tickets, the price of gas, things like that. But that's another thing that I just don't see the same excitement, and I don't know if that's just here in Minnesota or if that's something that is echoing around Major League Baseball.
Oh, I agree with you full-heartedly on that, Aaron, and I think the price of gas has certainly put a damper on going to games. And the situation downtown Minneapolis isn't probably 10 o'clock at night the place you want to have a picnic by any means. And that, I think, has been a factor for out-state people coming in. And I think that's probably two of the big reasons. And the price of the tickets. But Twins have had some real good online deals. If somebody is online, I think you probably are on the same site that I am, they get emails. And they've had some deals where, I don't know, $5 or $10 tickets for pick-your games. And, you know, they're obviously cheap seats, but it's still an affordable way to go to take a family to a ball game.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on Kate Radio at 219. And switching gears, Jonesy, have you been following the Stanley Cup finals at all? They had game three last night.
I have to say I'm
okay.
Not.
then I won't bring it up. I turned it on for just a few moments last night, and my wife, first words out of her mouth, she's like, it's June, right? I'm like, it is June, honey. She's like, they're still playing hockey? I go, yeah, because they had that break in the middle of February. But I go, this is normal. I go, NBA, Stanley Cup, they always go through June. So just so you know, Tampa Bay is down 2-1.
Okay, and they're playing Colorado,
They're playing Colorado, yep.
Okay, and I guess I kind of like Colorado a little bit. They beat St. Louis, and St. Louis took us out, and Nathan MacKinnon from Colorado went to Faribault Shattuck for part of his high school career. So you got a little bit of a local flair there. And so for that reason, I guess I like Colorado, but I have not been following much. I've been too busy, baseball four or five nights a week.
Former Wild goaltender Darcy Kuemper, he got pulled for Colorado last night. He's kind of their Achilles heel. Their goaltending is the one thing that will stop Colorado from winning, if you remember Darcy.
Sure. And I don't know. Who's their starting goaltender?
For
is it Kuemper?
For them, yeah. It's Kuemper for Colorado.
Oh, yep. He is the starter. Okay. The big one. Okay, yeah. He was a good one when we had him with the Wild. And it just became, I think, a numbers game when he left the Wild. But it's fun to watch hockey. I just haven't had a chance to. Haven't been a priority, I guess, with all the baseball going on in my family.
Jonesy, NBA draft on Thursday. Chet Holmgren, Minnehaha Academy. Do you take him number one?
I do not take him number one.
No, okay.
I'm concerned, just like the boy that came out of Rochester, Hurt, the Hurt boy. I watched him in high school out here, and sure, he put up a lot of points and dunked a lot and stuff, but he was so thin. And I kept saying, hey, this guy needs to go 4 years in at Duke, I guess he was at, and get himself beefed up. And somewhere or another, he got the 2 years, and I'm gone, and COVID, I think, became a factor there, too, with getting out. But where did he end up? He didn't get drafted in the NBA draft. And the reason why, he wasn't big enough and strong enough. I mean, he's big enough, but he wasn't quick enough and strong enough. And that's my concern about Holmgren, is he's not wide enough and quick enough to be able to play that game in the NBA. But, you know, who knows? It will be interesting to see where he goes. He would be my number one pick. I would say he'd be in the teens.
In the teens, wow.
Yes, I'm going to go teens.
See, and I think he should be number one, just because he can shoot. He's a 7-foot guy that can shoot. And, I mean, I don't think he's got the same body frame as, you know, Sean Bradley's one of the first guys that come to mind. But Bradley was like 7'6". He was taller, and he was thin as a rail. And I don't think he's got that same makeup. He's definitely a much different player because Bradley could not shoot three-pointers. He could not handle the ball like Chet Holmgren can. And maybe I'm just biased because I think it'd be kind of cool to see him and Jalen Suggs together again in Orlando. So you could have like the Orlando Magic Timberwolves down there or something like that.
That would be fun. I'll see where he goes. And I haven't followed the NBA draft that closely. So I know I keep seeing different things pop up and saying maybe he should be up there. And, well, we'll just have to wait and see. And I don't know if there's a true impact Zion Williamson-type guy that's going to come in and be a big first-year star like that. But we'll have to wait and see. You just never know. And then there's all the guys that are part of the foreign equation, too, that we don't hear a whole lot that – all of a sudden, you see this guy, he's a fourth or fifth pick, and you never even heard of him. He's from Turkey or wherever, and there's some great ball over there, obviously, too.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on Kate Radio. Jonesy, anything else you want to touch on?
Yeah, just one quick thing. We're talking hockey. We're going to talk basketball, too. I headed to Blue and Prairie tonight to officiate, and Elber League girls will be up there playing two out of the three games. They play at 6, 7, and 8. And they play an interesting format, Aaron. They play three 15-minute periods. And it's regular basketball, but if you foul a girl, it's not shooting. The team that gets fouled gets a point. And if they get fouled while they're shooting, then they get 2 points. And then if it's the last minute of each 15-minute period, if there's a shooting foul or a bonus situation, it's normal basketball. So it's a lot of fun. John Bruns, their girls coach up there, runs the league. And Albert Lee, Blooming Prairie. And I don't remember who the third team is up there tonight, but it should be a lot of fun for me to see what kind of players. Of course, we graduated 5 or 6 girls and reload for this next year and see what kind of team they put on the floor tonight. Looking forward to seeing that.
So let me make sure I understand this correctly. So to keep the flow of the game up, you just get awarded a point or, like you said, 2 points for a foul, and that way – you know, I don't mind that. I really don't mind that whatsoever because, I mean, nothing – I know free throws are part of a game, but I think a lot of basketball fans would say it does slow down the flow of the game. It does make the game a lot longer if there's tons and tons of whistles. I mean, that's nothing – that's not something that's ever going to be adapted at the high school level or any level, but I do – I really do like that thinking. That's a good way to go with it.
It is, and if I get a foul on the floor, I just go floor foul one, and I just look over at the scorekeeper, and she puts the 1 point on the board, and or floor foul two, or shooting foul two, and then they just get the ball. On a shooting foul, the others, they get 2 points, but they don't get the ball. On a 1 point foul, the team gets the ball again. So for a while, the first game out, it took me a second or a minute or two to figure out what I was doing again because I hadn't done it for a year, but once you get in the flow of it as an official, it goes very, very well.
So if we institute
it, it goes fast. That they want to get, you know, to get the games in and out. That's the whole thing. On summer, and we get the games in less than an hour. And I'll start at 6, and I'll be done about 8:45. So a nice little run.
If they instituted that rule along with the shot clock, like they're going to do in high school, we could have games that lasted an hour.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too. Let me, especially with so many things going in the summer, to be out of there in three full games and be out of there in 2:45 is kind of nice. So, but yeah, the Elberly girls will be up there tonight. I'll let you send you a text afterwards on how they did. So.
Sounds good. Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Aaron, it's always a pleasure. You have a great day.